1, 2, 3.
WRFI.
Watkins Glen.
Test.
Ithaca. WRFI Community Radio News is made possible by listeners like you.
Help us tell important stories about your community.
Head to wrfi.org/donate.
This is WRFI Community Radio News, connecting you with the issues and people shaping your community. And it's run, for the most part, on the power of volunteers. I'm Jimmy Jordan. Today, we're starting with a conversation about solitary confinement. We speak with a local activist who has been working for decades on the issue, and during the last legislative session in the New York State Legislature, a law was passed: halt solitary confinement. Later in the show, we're bringing you an episode of a brand new podcast focused on people in Ithaca. It's called This Is Ithaca. And the show shares with us some really beautiful audio portraits of people in the community. But first, here's a quick COVID update. Tompkins County is reporting one new case of the coronavirus and 6 active cases. Schuyler County is reporting no new cases of the coronavirus and 2 active cases. And that marks the last daily update of COVID numbers in Tompkins County. The Tompkins County Health Department is going to start providing those numbers on a once-a-week basis. Tomorrow marks the end of the local state of emergency to combat the COVID-19 pandemic. Cuomo declared the state of emergency over in New York State on June 24th. The executive order that established the emergency officially expires on July 3rd, tomorrow. Updates to Tompkins County's COVID cases will be made once a week, again on Wednesdays. Tompkins County's COVID case records will remain available to the public. Vaccine clinics will continue to be made available by the health department, popping up at smaller sites throughout the county these next few weeks. And now a quick weather forecast from the National Weather Service. Tonight, showers are likely, low in the upper 50s. Saturday, partly sunny, but chance of showers with thunderstorms in the afternoon, high in the lower 70s. Saturday night, slight chance of thunderstorms and showers, otherwise mostly cloudy, low near 60. Looking forward to Sunday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 70s. Now this brings us to our first story tonight. Wales Browns is a local activist in Ithaca who has been fighting to end solitary confinement for decades in prisons. The passing of the New York Halt Act marked a big victory in the fight for Wales and the men and women in prisons who are victims of the practice. Fred Balfour brings us this conversation with Wales Brown. Take it away, Fred.
Today, we're looking into solitary confinement in New York State prisons. 60 years ago this year, Amnesty International started looking at prisons and prisoners on a worldwide basis. In the 70s and 80s, they began to focus on prisoner treatment. Early this year, the New York legislature passed a law, signed by Governor Cuomo, making significant changes to the use of solitary confinement in state prisons. Much has been written and reported on the men and women subjected to the practice. But today we're focusing on the men and women who have worked to change New York's laws and practices. Hello, Wales. Thanks for meeting with us today. Can you give us your name and also the issue that we're going to talk about today?
Okay, I'm Wales Brown from the Ithaca Amnesty International Group, and we're talking about getting the HALT Act passed in New York State. That's a new law to cut down on solitary confinement in prisons and jails.
And you've been active on this for quite a bit of time here. How long have you been working on this?
Okay, our group started working on it at the end of 2013. And what we mainly did was to hold a vigil, or more or less silent demonstration, in front of the public library every 23rd of the month. So June 23rd, July 23rd, whatever. And this has a slight symbolic value because solitary confinement typically means that the prison authorities keep a person in their cell for 23 hours out of every 24.
And by in front of the public library means here, essentially, the crossroads in downtown Ithaca.
That's right, corner of Green Street and Cayuga Street.
And I can see April 23rd and on through October 23rd would be kind of a pleasant vigil, but between October 23rd and next February, that must have been less than comfortable.
Well, that was true. We sometimes had snow or cold winds, but every time, I think that just one time there was one person at the vigil, and every other time there were two or three or more, 8 to 10.
So how many hours a day? You were there one day, and how many hours would it be, and what were you doing while you were there?
Okay, we'd be there for 1 hour, and we'd have information sheet and letters and petitions. A petition just being a letter that multiple people sign. Letters to the Speaker of the New York Assembly and the leader of the New York State Senate and to the governor, saying we want to see this bill passed. The bill was already written, called the HALT Act, H-A-L-T, HALT, and that was cleverly chosen as an acronym, a humane alternatives to solitary confinement. And we cannot say we were the lead organization here. The campaign was started by CAIC, C-A-I-C, in New York City, a campaign for alternatives to isolated confinement. They started working on it back around 2010. We, the Amnesty Group, and other groups in Ithaca taking part as well. There was the Prisoner Justice Network, and one of their people would always come and vigil with us. And from time to time, the Episcopal Peace Fellowship and the Alliance of Families for Justice. So we had a bill that we wanted to see passed, and it was introduced in each successive session of the state legislature, and we hoped it would get voted on and passed and signed by the governor.
So you really were watching the politics carefully in Albany, as well as keeping track of your issue and keeping track of the ways that incarceration and solitary were affecting prison mm-hmm. populations.
Well, we had to, and in particular, CAIC in New York City had to. And they organized several bus trips to Albany to lobby the legislature directly in person. And people from Ithaca went on at least two of those, maybe three, but I went on two of them.
Must have been frustrating to be stymied each time, even though it would appear to have been supported by the Democrats, and the Democrats had the majority in both houses, but it didn't get through.
This was disappointing to see year after year. Yeah, they're sorry to see the Democrats divided like that in the state Senate.
As you watched the Democratic control and mm-hmm. the Democratic positioning mm-hmm. in the both the Assembly and the Senate, mm-hmm. there must have been changing in attitude of people in the state or even people nationally about solitary confinement, because mm-hmm. you're saying that there was a Democratic majority in 2018, but it didn't pass until 2021, roughly 3 years later. So what were the changes you saw as you talked to people or as you looked at the speeches on the floor or that kind of thing?
Well, more and more other states decided to do something to limit solitary confinement. Colorado, California, New Jersey, recently Connecticut, passed similar laws cutting down on solitary confinement. But also I think there was a change in the public mood, caused partly by publicity, about the bad effects that solitary confinement. If somebody is kept all by themselves without contact with other human beings for long periods, it's bad for the person, ruins their mental health, hurts their ability to cope when they do get back into normal society outside of prison.
So your activity in this space taught you quite a bit about the surrounding issues, not just the solitary confinement, but things like after release or parole return kinds of things. In the background reading I did, you mentioned torture. It's my understanding that international treaties identify solitary confinement beyond a certain point as torture.
Beyond 15 days.
And we're talking in the case of the HALT Act.
They wrote 15 days into it, the authors of the HALT Act. So nobody should be held in solitary for more than 15 days at a time.
And what do you see happening, or what did you see happening as that, as you studied this area? Are people in for longer than 15 days?
They certainly have been up to now in New York State. They can be held for 30 days or 60 days. Or they can be let out and immediately shoved back in. So it totals up to indefinite lengths of time. And we were in touch with members of CAKE who had been in for years on end.
Do you have any sense of how many signatures you collected or how many letters you sent as the vigil here in Tompkins County, Ithaca, proceeded?
So we had a vigil 12 times a year, typically. Almost every time we gathered 10 or 12 or 15 signatures on each of multiple letters, one going to Governor Cuomo, one going to the head of the Corrections Department, one going to our state senator from this region, it's been Senator O'Mara, one going to our state assembly person, and then this present year it's been Anna Kellis, who's been a supporter since even before she got elected, and she finally had the opportunity to vote for it. And she not only voted for it, she appeared at public forums to say why it had to be passed. So we're very grateful to her for that.
Must have been exciting for you to hear that passed this year. Must have been a real
passed and bold. Sent to the governor.
And did he sign it quickly?
He did sign it quickly, and we were sort of worried about that. Would he veto it and have to go back again? Because he hadn't been for it before.
It seems to me this is a great example of citizen activism modifying and changing legislation or modifying and changing practices. You must have thought about this a little bit through your 8 years of 23rd of every month.
Well, we are a small part of New York State, and there are people working on this in much larger numbers in New York City, in Albany, more recently in Buffalo, because one of the people who was held in solitary confinement for many, many years, Jerome Wright, did finally get out on parole, was named the field organizer for Western New York.
Thanks for your time today, Wales. And I've been talking to Wales Brown, who's been very active in the local protests and activism to change solitary confinement in New York State. This is Fred Belfour in Ithaca, New York.
Music was from Blue Dot Sessions.
Now we're just going to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll be introducing you to a new podcast. This is Ithaca, which offers a brief glimpse into the lives of people that compose the city's larger community. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to WRFI Community Radio News.
Hello?
Residents of Ithaca, do you ever feel like anyone is listening just for the sake of it? You know, listening just to listen.
Why do you ask, Jimmy?
Oh, Marietta. Well, I bring it up because I think that's one thing your new podcast, This is Ithaca, seems to do so well.
That's nice of you to say.
Which we will be playing an episode of on the program in just a bit. But first, maybe I should introduce you.
Maybe you should.
So, this is the voice of Marietta Sinodis, one of the creators and producers of the podcast This is Ithaca. She is a performative storyteller here in town and a former radio journalist.
Hello again.
The other great mind behind this project is Florence Gilley, who cannot be on air with us right now because he is sleeping, because he's home in Germany, which is, you know, 6 hours ahead of us. But he's working with Marietta on the podcast, which they started when he was studying at Cornell for a year back in 2019.
When things seemed so much simpler.
So much simpler. And yeah, Marietta, why don't we tell the audience a bit about the podcast and the episode we're about to hear?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to, Jimmy. So This is Ithaca is a series of audio portraits. And that means that in each episode, you only hear the person who's being interviewed. You hear their words describing their lives, their work, and their thoughts on community. So you won't be hearing me or Florence talking or asking any questions. And the idea is that these interviews are capturing different members of our community in a moment of their lives. So we've already conducted quite a few interviews, nearly 30, and some of those being a postal worker, a drag queen, a real estate developer, a merchant marine, if you believe it. Yeah, that's still a thing. And even the fellow who checks the parking meters. And individually, they are each fascinating profiles of a person. But what's cool is that collectively, they offer a broader view of how community is created and how it functions. So our first episode features Desiree Johnson, who is a bus operator for TCAT. But the rest is better said by her.
So I guess that means, without further ado, Desiree Johnson.
One thing about our community is that you tend to have people who stand out more, so their voices are heard more than, say, someone who's a little quieter, who doesn't speak up as much. You know, even the person that's the quietest person could have a vast amount of knowledge, but they don't get asked. My name is Desiree Johnson, and I am a bus operator for Tompkins Consolidated Area Transit, otherwise known as TCAT.
You're tuned to listener-supported WRFI.
This is difficult. This ain't New York City, man.
Hi. How you doing? Good. Oh, you're good. It went through. Mm-hmm. At first, I was like, no, I don't want to drive a bus. Why would I want to drive a bus? And the funny, ironic thing is my father is a bus operator for MTA in New York. If you had told me 20 years ago I would have become a bus operator just like my dad, I would have told you, you're crazy. Mm. But now it's like, wow, this is something that it must be in the blood, it must be in the family, because I'm doing exactly what he's doing. You're not just a driver, you're also like a therapist or a life coach. You tell a lot of stories. And I like that. That's one thing I like about this job. You know, you can see if someone's having a hard day when they get on the bus. They're normally very cheery, and then all of a sudden they get on the bus and they look sad. You're like, hey, what's going on? And then they start telling you what's going on. I like that kind of relationship. I had no previous experience with large vehicles. I went from being a teacher's aide to a bus driver. So, of course, I'm holding the steering wheel. I'm nervous, and it's shaking in my hand. But, I had to take my time, follow the instructions, be honest about not having previous experience. And they'll take more time with you in your training. And so once I did my training, I took my test, I passed it. I was so happy. I thought I was going to be sick. I was actually born in Bronx, New York. And I don't remember it as much because I moved to Ithaca when I was 8 years old. And so for me, it was a cultural transition. I mean, I go from being in a community where it's mostly people like me, Black and Latina, to an environment where it's mostly Caucasian, Asian. There's some Black, but it was definitely a transition for me as a kid. You've got more woods, you've got more forest area, you've got less buildings, less traffic. So just getting used to just the quiet took me a little bit. But now, as a bus operator, it's becoming a little bit more congested. There's more people living downtown, especially downtown. And it's becoming more, I would say, metropolitan than it used to be. Well, public transport's really to assist people to get where they need to go. A lot of people cannot afford a car, or a lot of communities on the outskirts are lacking in superstores, grocery stores. And so people have to commute just to get groceries. So a public transportation system that can go out far and come in and provide needs for their customers, it's a really great service. A service, that I think it's essential.
Oh, look at you!
I should die.
Your hair looks good as hell.
Thank you. Yeah. My mom did it. I don't like to keep doing the same thing. I get bored pretty quickly. So every bid cycle, which is usually about 3-4 months, I like to switch it up. So right now, I'm doing the Route 32, which goes to the airport. Then I do the shopper run, which is the 15. The Route 30, which goes to the mall. The 82, which stays in Cornell. The 40, that goes from downtown Ithaca through Cornell to Groton. The hardest one for me is the 32, and the 32 goes to Northwoods, which is where I live. So often enough, I'm driving past where I live, and I'm like, oh, I want to go home. I could go take a nap right now. But no, I mean, I enjoy that particular route because there's also a lot of trails. There's also a lot of trails in the airport area, along with the Lab of Ornithology. It's absolutely beautiful, Lab of Ornithology, especially now. Like, it's that transition of fall to winter, I mean, when the leaves are changing color, I highly recommend that. Just because, I mean, you've got so much color out there. And at this time, now that it's just green and all these, you've got the acorns falling and you've got, everything's just lively. You've got the little goslings all over the place. Get lost up there. It's worth exploring. I myself love being out in the woods. I love being out in the forest. I love being around the trees, seeing all the squirrels and rabbits running around. So I love routes that do take me out further. It keeps me calm. because this job can be stressful. It can be very stressful with time constraints and wanting to get customers when they need to go on time, and congestion with growing town. You've got more vehicles and more need to navigate. And if you're a townie, you know, oh, that bus is coming soon. Better back up my car a little bit versus, this big vehicle's coming at me. Which, you know, you can tell. If you're a driver, a bus driver, you can tell, oh, they're not from around town, because they would know, back it up, because I'm coming through. The biggest thing I have to worry about is this person running for exercise, or are they running to catch my bus? So I have to check the outfit. Are they in track clothes? Are they in shorts? Do they have a backpack on them? Do they have their wallet out? Are they waving it? Hey, I'm coming, I'm coming. Or are they in a suit, sweating their butt off, trying to catch my bus with a suitcase? So those are the things I'll look out for, to see if someone's actually running for fitness or running to catch my bus. Overall, including breaks, you're talking about 12-hour days. That's a long day, and that's a lot of time not with family. And that's one of the, I would say, the biggest complaints a lot of drivers have. It's a job, don't get me wrong. Pays really well. But one thing you have to worry about is, how do you navigate that with your family life? A lot of drivers have missed important events, graduations, doctor's appointments. And that's common for all public transportation services. You're working a lot of hours, and it takes its toll. If you're sitting in a seat about 4 to 6 hours at a time, it starts to affect your body. Foot, leg, hips, back, arms, turning our wheels for our bus. I had to adjust to that. That was rough. It pretty much feels like your job is your home, and then when you go home, you're going on a slight vacation. So a lot of times you'll have drivers say, honey, I'm home. One of the benefits of being someone that's grown up in the community, I've seen so many people that I've, oh gosh, so many people I've grown up with who ride the bus. I've had so many people that were my teachers, that were my mentors, friends of the family that have known me when I was a little girl, you know, age 12, and now they see me age 36, and they're like, wow, look at you, you've grown up, look at what you're doing. For so many years, I worked with Stewart Park Day Camp, actually. And so seeing a lot of the kids that were campers are now adults, it's jarring to me, because I was like, oh my God, I mean, I remember when you were this little and you were, that's not coming out of your nose. And now, you know, you're an adult getting on the bus, going to work, you know. It could be sometimes perplexing. You're thinking, wow, I'm getting older, you know. But it's so great to see so many people having those opportunities to talk to people about what's going on in their life. You know, I enjoy those things, and they do too. I am a huge Harry Potter fan, and one of the biggest events, and I absolutely love it, is Wizarding Weekend. It's a big event. And it got all the students from Cornell and IC totally excited. So you had a flood. I'm talking a flood of people dressed up as wizards. And they're all getting on the bus. They're all in costume. And they're all going downtown to these events. You're talking downtown is transformed into Hogwarts. I dressed up as a witch. And I had a white wig. I had a corset and a cape and a wand. I convinced my mom to dress up too. So we look pretty cool. We got a lot of compliments. I think ever since I was a kid, I was like, Halloween, yes. And I don't think I'm ever gonna stop. I'm probably gonna be in my 80s dressing up for Halloween. You better believe it.
Ooh, that's a good question. Familiar faces. People that you've grown up with. I would say that that's one definition of community. But also, you know, if you're ever in need or you're on the low, something's going on and, you know, you need support, you have a network of people around you that can assist you in different ways, whether it's, you know, I don't have any food, I'll cook you something. I'm having difficulties paying medical bills. Okay, we'll have a fundraiser. That's what I would define as community, people who come together and support each other. And they know each other, and they work together to help the collective. I know it can sound a little sci-fi-ish, but in helping the collective, that's what I think of when I think of community.
This is Ithaca is an audio project produced by Florence Skilly and myself, Marietta Sinodis, in cooperation with WRFI Community Radio. To hear more, visit our website, www.thisithaca.org. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A Ghostbuster on here?
I got it. The Ghostbuster. Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, yo. Thank you.
And that brings us to the close of our show today. If you like what you heard, you need to know that this show, this station, it happens on the power of volunteers and donations. If you like it, if you want to see WRFI grow and get better and better, please consider making a donation to the station. Go to wrfi.org/donate. And you can go to wrfi.org to find our web content, music, news, views. This is independent radio. If you're into this, if you want to try your hands at making, telling stories for news, for fun, you know we like to get artsy here too, so you can do that with us. We've got a platform you're welcome to step onto. To inquire about opportunities, please email news@ithacaradio.org. If you have a question, tip, or comment for the news team, you can also just reach out to news@ithacaradio.org. We'll be back next week and every Friday at 5 to bring you more of the stories impacting our communities. On behalf of the entire WRFI news team, I'm Jimmy Jordan. Take care, be well, and have a good evening.
One, two, three.
WRFI.